People have always had a fascination with angels, although Skip Heitzig says that at times that fascination can be a bit excessive.
Needless to say, we've popularized angels to the extent that we've made them just decorations now. We put them on trees, we collect them. There are whole lines of angels that one can buy for his or her home. I read an article where one Wisconsin homemaker collected a total of 11,161 angel artifacts. Now, she's so into this that she's going to remove doors and windows from walls in the home, patch them up to make more room for more shelves for more angel artifacts.
Make the connection.
Okay, pop quiz. How many movies or TV shows can you name that had an angel in them? Ready? Go. So, how many did you come up with? I'm sure you had at least a few almost instantly pop in your head. After all, angels have been a popular part of entertainment for a long time. Unfortunately, that popularity in the media also led to there being many misconceptions and misunderstandings about who they really are and how they interact with our world. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig takes us behind the veil of the spiritual realm to get a quick peek at the world of angels. But before we do that, if you've ever felt that the Book of Revelation was too difficult to understand on your own, we have something for you this month to help you with that.
There's one very good reason why you should read the Book of Revelation. You know, that's funny because happiness isn't something most people associate with the Book of Revelation. Well, Skip Heitzig wants to help you change your perspective with his new book, You Can Understand the Book of Revelation. Discover the meaning of all those signs and symbols, why so much of it is presented symbolically, and most importantly, what it has to do with Jesus and the message of the gospel. Order You Can Understand the Book of Revelation from The Connection on special for just $12 when you call 1-800-922-1888. Or when you visit connectionradio.org. The Book of Revelation can make you happy. Yes, you heard that correctly. Find out how with Skip's latest book. Available this month for just $12. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
So just how much are real angels like their movie and TV star portrayals? How do they really interact with our world? And why is it they often seem more popular than even God? We'll find some answers to those questions and many more in today's study. So stay right here.
And make the connection at the foot of the cross. And study the Word of God and find the way into His love. Make the connection.
Today, we'll be in Luke chapters 1 and 2, so turn there and let's join Skip Heitzig as he talks a little bit about fact and fiction.
Space, the final frontier. We grew up hearing that, some of us. These are the voyages of the Starship. Now, that's fiction. There is no Starship Enterprise carousing around the galaxy exploring, but there are other beings who are non-fictional beings. We call them angels. Back in 1985, there was a ship out in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of California, I believe it was. It was an exploration ship, and a biologist by the name of Bruce Robison was let overboard in a one-man sub called the Deep Rover. And they put him down about 500 meters, about 1,500 feet, to explore the vast, deep regions of inner space, the ocean. He went down deep where the light is very, very scarce, and it is required to have strong lights on the front of this craft. It's an acrylic bulb that surrounded him and this little craft that took him down where the water was inky black. And he's described and photographed millions of little luminescent creatures around him. When suddenly, from seemingly out of nowhere, loomed a semi-transparent creature, he said, and photographed, with thousands of tentacles, dozens of stomachs, measuring about 120 feet long. Then, also from out of nowhere, swimming with that one, were others that surrounded his ship. And no, I'm not going to say they attacked and ate it, because that would be what Hollywood would do to a movie. That's a real life situation. These large creatures that people, for the most part, haven't known existed. Now, I'm telling you this because just as those creatures are existing and are a part of everyday life, they're out there all the time, but we disregard them. We don't know about them. In the spiritual realm, there are a host of other creatures on a daily basis that we don't really pay much attention to, but it's in a realm altogether different, a spiritual realm. God, demons, angels, and we've discovered some of those the last few weeks. If you were to mention angels to some of your parents, the first thing that might come to their minds would be Jimmy Stewart, because they would be thinking of that Christmas film that comes out every year, It's a Wonderful Life, where Jimmy Stewart plays the key actor in the movie, George Bailey. And he is very suicidal, and an angel is dispatched from heaven to keep George Bailey from committing suicide. And Jimmy Stewart goes from being very depressed to being very excited at the end, and he has something to live for. Well, needless to say, we've popularized angels to the extent that we've made them just decorations now. We put them on trees, we collect them. There are whole lines of angels that one can buy for his or her home. I read an article where one Wisconsin homemaker collected a total of 11,161 angel artifacts. Now, she's so into this that she's going to remove doors and windows from walls in the home, patch them up to make more room for more shelves for more angel artifacts. She's into it. Not too long ago, Publishers Weekly said that 5 out of 10 paperbacks sold in our country have to do with angels. And of course, there's hosts of articles about them. When the national news magazines put out their obligatory twice a year spiritual article, they often highlight angels. For instance, Life magazine put out an article, In Search of Angels. Time magazine put one out, Angels Among Us. And they took a poll. And they discovered that 69% of Americans believe in angels, 32% believe they have felt the presence of an angel at one time or another. You can even get angel screensavers off the internet. You can order angel mouse pads. And I heard of a Michigan group with the acronym HALO, H-A-L-O, which stands for Helping Angel Lovers Own Stores. No joke. Why not Helping Angel Lovers come up with a better name than that? But they did anyway. In fact, the article author asked, can McAngels be far behind? I have even heard of angel sightings. Now, these are interesting. Every now and then somebody will come up to me and basically come up with the same story. And I am a skeptic by nature. I don't deny their existence. Obviously, we're talking about them and we'll see in the Bible. But I found that angel sightings are very much like Elvis sightings. And so I'm very wary to just believe them necessarily. In fact, one 48-year-old woman by the name of Eileen Freeman claims to be an angelologist and says her guardian angel helped her lose 150 pounds. So there's a whole new heavenly diet for you. The Bible speaks about them. And one of the most familiar passages is found in Luke. And if you look at chapter 1, in verse 11, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, that is to Zacharias the priest, standing on the right side of the altar of incense, and Zechariah saw him and was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will call his name John." And if you skip down to verse 26, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." And then in chapter 2, we see him again in the most familiar story of all. Verse 8, "There were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which is to be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign: you will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Now, tonight we want to look at the identity of angels and the ministry of angels. Who are they and what do they do? Do you realize that you may have met an angel? You say, "Oh, no, I would have known if I met an angel. You know, the wings give it away, the halo, the whole bit. I would have recognized an angel." Well, that's just the point. You may have met an angel and you wouldn't necessarily have recognized that being. For the writer of Hebrews tells us, "Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, for some who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it." I think perhaps one of the reasons we tend to dismiss the idea of angels, at least some who do, is because of all of the lame caricatures that have been put out there about who angels are supposed to be. Who are these beings? What are they like? Do they have long flowing robes? Do they have wings? Do they really play harps? Is there some rule that says they have to play harps? Couldn't they play a guitar? Are they always female, like is often portrayed? Who are they? What do they do? A few things I want to just kind of bring up as a preliminary here. Preliminary in the identity of angels. First of all, they're all over the Bible. That is, they're referred to often in the Scripture. How much? Well, 34 books of the Bible, 17 in the Old and 17 in the New, bring reference to these angelic visitors, these angels. Now, these are real references. These are people who write about them, say they have seen them, not in a vision, not in a dream, not because they ate pizza late at night, but a real, bona fide experience with angelic beings. 34 different books. The word angel is mentioned 103 times in the Old Testament and 165 times in the New. The term angel, angelos, means a messenger. It is often a word that is used for any kind of a messenger, even a pastoral messenger, or somebody who would be a human messenger, but most often it refers to this special spiritual being that we normally refer to as an angel. Where'd they come from? Well, this is where we need to distinguish between myth and reality, between fact and fiction, because truth be told, just about every ancient culture, worldview, spiritual ideology mentions or depicts some form of angel. All the way from the Babylonians, who pictured spirit beings going between the gods and the heavens, bringing messages to the gods and the earth, to the Greeks and the Romans, who pictured gods, goddesses, demigods, very active from the heavens on the earth. A Muslim legend says that when Muhammad was transported into heaven, he saw an angel with 70,000 heads. Each head had 70,000 faces. Each face had 70,000 mouths, each mouth had 70,000 tongues, and each tongue could speak 70,000 languages. All of this is myth, obviously. Ancient Egyptian artifacts and archaeological finds show that the Egyptians, as well as the ancient Sumerians, believed in and taught about angels. So, because of that, because every ancient culture mentions them, it would be quite easy to take the biblical account of angels and relegate it, as Bill Moyers has done in his powerful series on the myth, and say, this is the Hebrew myth. This is the New Testament biblical myth, just like so many other myths. Or what it could show is that these other ancient cultures preserved at least a distorted memory of actual early experiences and revelations of angels. In other words, there were angelic beings and are angelic beings that intersected in history. They were experienced, they were seen, it was revealed, but being unbelievers, over a period of time as history unfolded, it became a distorted picture. Just like the story of the flood is also mentioned in virtually every other cosmology. They seem to have been present at the creation of the universe. I'm going to read you a passage. It's in Job 38. I didn't want you to turn to too many passages tonight, so a couple of them I'm going to read. Now, in Job 38, Job is sort of about done with his period of suffering. He's been asking why this and why that and questioning God. And so God has a few questions for old Job. And he comes to him and he says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched a line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or as the New Living Translation puts it, as the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. It would seem then what God is saying is that the angels at the creation had like front row seats. They had like the best view, just checking it out, watching God fling the planets out and spread out the universe, seeing it all put in perfect order. So these were created beings. According to Jesus in Matthew 22, angels don't procreate. Which means each one, get this, is a special creation by God, making angels immortal. Not eternal, because they had a beginning. They were created before the material universe, but being eternal in that they are spiritual and they never will die. Because of that reason, that they're specially created by God, they are sometimes referred to in the scripture as the sons of God. Don't let the term throw you. It means these are specially created beings as a direct creation by God. Job chapter 1, the sons of God appeared before God and Satan was among them. We discovered that last week. So before the material universe, God created these spirit beings called angelos, angels. A third of them fell with Lucifer, as we saw last week. They didn't keep their first estate, as the New Testament writer puts it. Two-thirds of them remain loyal. And it's the two-thirds that we look at tonight. A second thing in their identity, they're normally invisible. And I say normally invisible. Billy Graham calls them God's secret agents. They are spirit beings. They're non-corporeal. They don't have a body. They are spiritual beings. They're called in Hebrews 1, ministering spirits, which gives them an advantage. They're unhindered. They're unrestricted like we are. You know, we are very restricted in our human bodies, and our bodies decay. They are unhindered, like humans are, and they are not subject to decay. Now, I say they're invisible most of the time. On special occasions, for whatever reason God has, He clothes them with some form of a body. Now, I've been asked to explain this, and I have a tough time doing it. I can only give you an analogy. Can I do that? Let's go back to Star Trek. And I'm not a Trekkie, by the way. This is just an illustration that comes to mind. You have the Federation starships carousing around the universe. They're taking some long trips. What do they do for entertainment? Do you remember? The holodeck or the holosuite. And this is this virtual reality where they go into this large room, and if they're a human, they can program in a scene that is done holographically, three-dimensionally, but it appears, it looks like, it feels like, it smells like reality. So if you're from the Earth and you're on this long journey across space, you could program in and design the Swiss Alps and climb them. If you're a Klingon, you can recreate a famous space battle in the past and practice your fighting skills. And then when you're all done with it, you can just say, computer off, or computer end program. And you're back to the room again. You go on, do your duties. So it's as if in periods of history, God clothes these spirit beings with the body till he's done, and he can just say, end program. We see that the angelic beings appear visually as sort of like divine security guards in the Garden of Eden. They're there with a flaming sword keeping people from coming back in, Adam and Eve. We see them a little bit later as Abraham invites three men who are angels into his tent, and they're visitors, and they eat with him. What do you feed an angel? I know you're thinking angel food cake. Probably not. These guys just appeared like normal human beings. We see that angels are like divine bouncers. A few chapters later, the very next chapter, in fact, when Lot is in Sodom and Gomorrah, and angels preserve him as they destroy the city. We see angels protecting Peter in Acts chapter 12, springing him from jail, like a special op angel. But for the most part, though they appear now and then, for the most part, they're invisible. They're invisible. Why? My opinion, if they were visible all the time, humans would have a tendency to worship them. Don't you think? I mean, we're worshiping Jesus' face in a tortilla. What would we do if we saw an angel? We'd fall down and worship the thing. We're given to that kind of activity. By the way, even John did this in Revelation. He said, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. But he said to me, see that you do not do this, for I am your fellow servant. Worship God. And that could be a message to anybody who would worship saints or any other personage besides God. Even the angel would not accept it. God was to be worshipped. Third, there's a lot of them. They're mentioned in Scripture. There's a lot of them. They're great in number. How many? Again, we don't know. But there's a lot of them. Now, this has been actually a theological debate through the years. People have actually tried to assign a number to them. How many angels can you fit on the head of a pin? Like, who cares? But one theologian, Albertus Magnus, was precise. He said, there are, emphatically, 399,920,004 angels. Where did he get this from? Probably pizza late one night. But it's not from the Bible.
You know, angels are very fascinating creatures, but they shouldn't block our view of God. If anything, they point the way for us to get a clearer view of God. However, when all we look for are angels in the outfield, we're looking in the wrong direction. Now, we're going to have to wrap things up for today, but before we do, we'd love to hear from you, especially if you've never taken the time to contact us before. As a matter of fact, if you contact us for the first time today, we'll send you a free teaching from Skip. It's called Follow Jesus, But Don't Be Religious, and it's yours for free just for contacting us for the first time today. So give us a call, 1-800-922-1888, and let us know if it's your first time to do so. Or you can write us for that free teaching. Our mailing address, P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. If, however, all you need is a copy of today's teaching, we'd certainly be happy to get you a copy of that as well. It's available for just $6 when you visit our website, connectionradio.org. And of course, you can call as well at 1-800-922-1888. But no matter how you get in touch with us, be sure to mention that this is your first time to contact us so we can send you that free bonus teaching from Skip. Just call 1-800-922-1888.
And make the connection.
Talk more about angels and how they touch our lives as we continue our series Rediscovering Our Foundations next time here on The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.